This morning, we want to continue the our pilgrimage on the matter of discipleship and what the disciples ought to know and ought to do and how they ought to live in this world for the Lord. The topic for today is divorce, remarriage, and widowhood or widowerhood. That's a word you don't hear too often. But we'll briefly examine in English, just the, we'll look just at the divorce and remarriage issue in the minutes to come. This is an exceedingly difficult topic, and that's for several reasons. One is the emotional toll of divorce. Divorce is emotionally extremely difficult for those involved and for those near the parties that separate. Another reason why, of course, I'm not even going to mention the financial aspect, but that's usually a big part of it too. But another important reason is that the scriptural data is not easy to look at and to understand, and also the varying views on the matter. And I want to tell you that there is tremendous disagreement among evangelicals on the issue because of exegesis. I'm going to tell you in a minute what I mean by that, and hermeneutics, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. The exegesis issue is this: what do certain key words and sentences exactly mean? It's not as easy as it may appear. It matters what the words are and what they mean in the original text, not so much what they say in our translation, although our translations, both English and the Romanian translations, are good translations, but they are nevertheless translations. How about a verse such as Malachi 2:16, where some translations say that God hates divorce, but there is a problem. It's not at all certain that that's what the text says. And this is just one example. And as a matter of fact, you looked at many modern English translations and they don't say that. There's a question of what is the word translated immorality in Matthew 5:32 exactly mean? What about in 1 Corinthians 7:15, when it talks about the unbeliever leaving the believing spouse, when it says he or she is not bound? That word bound, what exactly does that word really mean? Not what you think it means, but what does it actually mean? What about the question of hermeneutics? And that is, how do we understand the original context? How do we fit together those words that are difficult sometimes to interpret and understand to begin with? And how do we fit together the Old Testament teaching on the matter of divorce with what Jesus says? What about how do we bring in the teaching of Paul into this whole picture? So see, it's a very complicated and a complex issue. Because of those issues, some conclude, and now I'm talking about evangelicals primarily, that there are several different possibilities or options, and some will say that there is to be no divorce or remarriage for any reason, period. Categorically, none, zero. And that's, by the way, the position of the Roman Catholic Church. It's held by some evangelicals. Probably a minority, I would say. Others say that divorce is allowed in very few instances, while remarriage is not. In other words, yes, there's a few exceptions. You can divorce. After that, no remarriage. It's all over as far as getting remarried. Yet others, looking at the same scriptural data, allow for divorce and remarriage in the case of adultery and abandonment by the unbeliever of the marriage. And finally, others think that divorce and marriage are acceptable for a number of reasons, a variety of reasons. So I want to tell you that I want to trot very carefully here. And despite this, I may not be forceful enough in what I say, or in fact, I may do just the opposite. And that probably has a lot to do with what you think about this matter. I pray that the blessed Holy Spirit would impress upon your hearts the will of God concerning this issue. I'll try to stay close to the things that, knowing the things I just mentioned, I told you, the things that seem obvious to me when I read the scripture and still considering the things that I have mentioned. I want to say a couple of things. Number one, divorce was not part, this is what we can say with certainty. Divorce was not part of God's plan for humanity. And I want you, if you have your Bibles close, I want you to look at Matthew 19, and we'll look at a few verses. Verse 3 says, some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Here's the Pharisees who were, a lot of them were divorcing often for many reasons, a variety of reasons. You would not believe the things they would divorce for. If the wife messed up the dinner, that could be a grounds for divorce. Okay, so they would divorce for any reason. So they asked this type of question. Now, Jesus asks, answers, replies in verses 4 and 5. Haven't you heard, he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is what Jesus says. God created man and woman to form a family, to form a unity. And that's what he said. And then in verse 6 it says, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. And listen to this, very important. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. That's what Jesus says. The divorce option, let's think about, go back to the Garden of Eden, that was simply not on the table for Adam and Eve in their state of innocence before the fall. However, we move on and we'll see that even though divorce was not part of God's original plan, divorce was regulated in the Old Testament because of sin. Look at verse 7. The Pharisees go on the counterattack. Why then, they asked, did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? And Jesus has to answer in verse 8 by saying, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. Notice how Jesus brings them back to creation and says, no, it was not like that. The law of Moses brought this, allowed this in order to control a situation and to stop it from getting out of hand. And by the way, in the Old Testament, there's no way that the reason Jesus refers to here, the hardness of their hearts, is adultery. It is not, because in the Old Testament, the penalty for adultery was death. So it wasn't divorce, but it was death. So what we see and what we understand from this right here is that the hardness of the hearts of people was the cause of the law allowing divorce. Divorce was already occurring. It had to be regulated. It had to be controlled. Disobedience to the law of God is what caused divorce. Why were people divorcing in the Old Testament? Because they were disobedient to the law of God. And now let's look at verse 9, and I'd like you to see here that restrictions are placed on the reason for divorce and subsequent marriage. Verse 9 says, I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. Now, Jesus seems to put to allow here divorce for adultery, but he also restricts remarrying to remarriage for this reason. I won't get into the details other than to say that it seems that God restricts the remarriage option quite a bit, significantly, primarily for adultery, and if we look at other passages from the New Testament, probably for abandonment as well. I think it's worth mentioning here that at death, the relationship of marriage is ended and there is no restriction on remarriage, but that's somewhat of a lateral issue. If the unbeliever breaks the covenant of marriage, it seems like the believer is free to remarry. So these are very difficult and important issues still to consider. That's what this text, I believe, is telling us. Now, let me just quickly say again what it said, what I believe is important. Divorce was not part of God's plan for humanity from the beginning. Okay? The cause of divorce is sin, and divorce was regulated because divorce was already going on in Israel at the time of the giving of the law. Restrictions are placed on divorce and on the reasons for divorce and on remarriage if divorce does occur. And I want to close with a couple of ideas for application for us. God's best for people is marriage without divorce. And this leads to personal happiness. It leads to fulfilled families and to healthy societies, by the way. The second thing to remember is that sin is the cause of divorce, particularly selfishness. That's the main cause of divorce. Avoid sin, avoid selfishness, you avoid divorce. A third thing that I believe is very practical is don't take the matter lightly. It's possible that if you are one of those who will go through divorce, you will incur temporal discipline from God and even eternal loss of reward for divorce, not to mention the devastating emotional consequences that accompany divorce. But I can't close without another practical point, and that is this: God forgives and restores. And those who have gone through this painful process can be certainly assured that the grace of God covers any sin that might have been involved in this matter. He can restore things. He can create new relationships, and He can make them work as long as we follow the precepts of God's Word. But that is key. That is critical. That's important. So let's take to heart the words of Jesus. What God has joined together, let no one separate. But for those who have gone through this experience, may they be assured that God's grace is sufficient to give them a life of victory and to cover all and any of the sins that may have been involved, just as it is the case with any other sin. Amen.